Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to study Malachi chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. 11 through 16. All right, and what we're going to study here regarding that something for Israel and then something for us concerning marriage. And for Israel, it was, first of all, that they not intermingle with other nations. And then secondly, God did not want them divorcing. We're going to talk about both of those subjects today. Okay, Malachi chapter 2, verse 11, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and with weeping and with crying out, so insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. Okay? Now, you got a lot of things going on here. But in the first part, in verses 11 to 13, you have this first thing that we're talking about. And that is the mingling of the seed of Israel with other nations. In what he says here in verse 11 is, hath married the daughter of a strange god. You know, there are prohibitions about Judah and Israel in the Old Testament. And those prohibitions forbade them to marry women from other nations, and forbade their sons, excuse me, their daughters to marry men from other nations. They were not to commingle their seed. And so what happened is that Judah profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and married the daughter of a strange god. Now look here in some passages of Scripture from the Old Testament to show you the prohibitions, and show you some other things that happened later when they violated the prohibitions of God. We've got several places to turn in the Old Testament. Let's turn, first of all, to the book of Exodus in chapter 34 and look at this around the verse 16. All right, Exodus chapter 34 and look at verse 16. All right, and we're going to start out with verse 13. This is where the Lord goes in to drive out the Canaanite, Hivite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite. Verse 13, you shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. So the prohibition here is a prohibition against intermarrying with any of the nations that are around them. Canaanite, Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite. He said, because if you do, what's going to happen, they are going to draw your heart away to serve other gods, or what he says, go a-whoring after other gods. Now, look in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and notice that he says it again. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we'll look at verse 1, verses 3 and 4, the verses that we want, but look at verse 1. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, what, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me. Not they might, not they may, not they probably will, but they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them, ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord. And Malachi, that's what he's talking about here. He says, Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord. But God says, he says here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, he says, thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So the way to keep themselves holy was to keep from intermarrying. It's a profound statement here in the light of the things that go on these days, because there seems to be no limit to intermarrying, and that's been that way for centuries. I mean, my bloodline includes several things that I know of, and maybe some things I don't know of, but it includes German and Irish and Spanish. De la Portilla from Spain and Welter from Germany, that's the welder name, and Power from Ireland. So I know that's in there, and that's a mixed up thing. You know, I wonder sometimes if this deal with bipolar disorders and all that thing is not only a result of the stress under which we live these days, but if it had to do a little bit with the mixed up blood. I tell people with the three strains of blood that I know I have in me, I've got a bad mix. I'm hot-headed and cold-blooded and stubborn. You see, that's not a good situation there at all. You put all those three together in the same person, you can get you a pretty peculiar individual. So now they were mingling their seed then. He says, you have loved and have married the daughter of a strange god. Now, we know somebody in the Bible that did this as a matter of practice, and it destroyed him, and it destroyed his kingdom. Who was that? Well, it was Solomon that did that. And he was seduced into that idolatry by his wives. All right, 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. The Bible says, but Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely. See, I told you, it's not maybe, not probably, not likely, but surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. All right, then he built the high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and Molech, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. So this restriction, see, was to preserve the holiness of that seed, and when they intermarried, then they picked up the false gods. It affected Solomon. It was promised and prophesied by God. It was forbidden by God, and Solomon disregarded the command of the Lord and did what he wanted to do there in any case. Now, Solomon did that, and then we go all the way through the line of the kings, and we see the idolatry and so forth that affects them, and then they get it, you know, taken into Babylon, into captivity, and they come out of Babylon from captivity, and they go back into Israel and rebuild the wall, and they rebuild the temple in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, and we find the problem is still there in Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9, now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands, yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. Well, Solomon was a ruler and a chief. Now these guys did it. And it messed up their line. It messed up their holiness. And so you read in Ezra chapter 10 that they had to separate from all of these wives and from all their children. And some of the names of the people are mentioned. And then in Nehemiah, you know, you see the same thing going on. It's confirmed in both accounts that people had to divorce their wives and get rid of these kids, and it was just an awful mess. In Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 23, Nehemiah starts out there and talks about marrying wives of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and then how he contended with them and cursed them in verse 25. Then he says in verse 26, Nehemiah 13, 26, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. So it's a great evil in marrying these strange wives. Okay? Now, in Malachi chapter 2, in verse 12, the Bible says, the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar. So he's having no respect of persons. If the master is involved in it, he's cut off. If the scholar is involved in it, he's cut off. Out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. In other words, he says that the pronouncement of this thing, there's weeping, there's tears, there's crying out, and God says, tough apples, I'm not listening. And there's two reasons why the Lord's not listening. Number one, because they're feigning sadness. They're faking. Like Jeremiah chapter 41, verse 6. In Jeremiah chapter 41 and verse 6, we see the classic example of somebody crying in order to disarm somebody they're about to kill. All right, Ishmael, and we're not talking about Isaac's brother, but we're talking about Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, in Jeremiah chapter 41, who came out of the country of Ammon and slew Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, who was ruling over Israel after Nebuzaradan had put him in charge following the final captivity. Ishmael killed Gedaliah. He killed the Jews that were with him in verses 2 and 3. And then verse 4, it came to pass the second day after he had slain Gedaliah, and no man knew it, that there came certain from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, even 80 men, 80 men, having their beards shaven and their clothes rent, and having cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hand, to bring them to the house of the Lord. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, went forth from Mizpah to meet them, watch it, weeping all along as he went. And it came to pass as he met them, he said unto them, Come to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. And so it was, when they came into the midst of the city, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, slew them. So the tears were just a fake. They're like the women who were crying when Jairus' daughter was pronounced dead. Jesus Christ told Jairus, he said, don't worry about it. Don't worry, but she's not dead. She's just asleep. So he goes to the house to heal the girl. And there are a bunch of minstrels in there, or women in there, and they're crying. They're all crying. And you know what happens? The Lord says, the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Well, then all their tears and all their crying out was just fake. See? That's all it was. That was Matthew 9:24, if you're keeping cross references. So the Lord, you know, the Lord says, I'm not interested in a big display here now that you're all upset that you, you know, got caught. You're not sincere about this thing at all. The other thing is it's too late. Too late. Look, he says, I told you in Deuteronomy, I told you in Exodus, you saw it in Solomon, you saw it in Ezra and Nehemiah, and you kept doing it anyway. I've had it. Because Malachi is much later than all of that. Malachi is writing around 400 B.C., that's the time frame that he's covering as well. And the Jews were taken into captivity 606 B.C., final captivity 586 B.C. So nearly 200 years before this, they'd already seen, you know, all these people that had to get separated from these wives. And the Lord said, it's too late. I'm not taking it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17, we know how that afterward, when he, that's Esau, would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he, that's Esau, found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. God said, you cry all you want to. I'm not listening. Regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. I'm done. That's it. Isaiah 1:10-15. You don't need to turn there because I'm not going to take the time to read it, but the Lord just says, I'm had it. You can offer, but I'm not going to receive it. I'm going to hide my eyes from you. I'm going to hide my ears from you. I'm done with you. All right, now in Malachi chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, we see yet something else concerning marriage. Okay, this first part had to do with marrying the wrong people. Here has to do with leaving the wife that he married to go after another woman. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. Now, what's going on here is that with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay, there is a godly seed. That's Matthew chapter 1, the seed that leads to Jesus Christ. And Luke chapter 4, the seed that leads to Jesus Christ. And the devil did all he could to attack and mess up this seed. And that's another study. We won't take the time to go on into that detail. But just to give you an example, the womb of Sarah was open. And Abraham went down to dwell with Abimelech and let Sarah stay with Abimelech. And man, I mean, her womb was open. What a terrible decision. God was looking for a godly seed. So he says, let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth, because the Lord hateth putting away. That is, once the person has been married, God said, I don't want you leaving that wife, the wife of your youth. Okay, I don't want you to deal treacherously against her. I want you to stay with her. Now, there is a variety of things that we need to say about this, and we'll cover as much of it as we have the time to cover. But you can see clearly that God hates divorce, and you can see clearly that God says once you marry the wife of your youth, then you are to be stay with the wife of thy youth. And men, you know, they say the seven-year itch, and they say after men have been married sometimes 25, 30 years, they're leaving their wives. And it's a terrible thing, but that's because in marriages, things change. I mean, there's always that beauty and joy and happiness at the first, you know, the honeymoon and the time you're married, and then suddenly the children start coming and things change there. And a woman's heart is going to be toward her children, and her husband feels left out. And then the children are grown and leave the house, and the wife has been totally dedicated to the children. By this time, the dad's had enough, and he's ready to have, you know, more time with his wife. But now she's not what she was, and he's not what he was when they first married. Other changes come with time and the middle years. And so suddenly there are other problems. And so you see these patterns repeated over and over again. And Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 5, he said, look, verse 18, Proverbs chapter 5, he said, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Same thing that Malachi says here, the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant row. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her lover, with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? He said, but it means, you said, guys, don't do that. Why will you do that? Now listen. There is a union that is created in marriage that takes two people and makes them one. In verse 15 of Malachi chapter 2, yet did not he make one? Yes, he did. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, at the first marriage between Adam and Eve, God says very simply, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And Paul repeats that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, says exactly the same thing. And so if they're one, then here's the deal. He doesn't want them to break that and then bring another union, because the Lord hateth putting away. The Lord hateth putting away. Now, in Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 9, the Lord goes through and describes to the Pharisees why God gave Moses something called the bill of divorcement. Matthew chapter 19, verse 1, came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now they know the scriptures. The Pharisees know the scriptures. They don't know them well enough to apply them properly, but they know the scriptures. And so they would know Malachi, and they would know that the Lord hateth putting away. Verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. There it is again. That happens three times in the Bible. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. All right, now, the Lord says he hates putting away, but he actually offers in the Bible one opportunity for putting away that he doesn't hate, at least on the part of the innocent party who does the putting away, and two instances where he allows for somebody to marry another woman other than the wife of his youth. And those are these cases. Number one, fornication. In other words, he's talking here that here's a man, he puts away his wife, and the Lord said, if she had fornicated, then there is a legitimate ground for divorcing her. because she's committed adultery. And when she does, essentially, at least in the flesh, what happens is that she joins her body with another man and they become one. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Thus killing or breaking the marriage, in which case he is then free to give her a bill of divorcement, and he's free to marry as far as Paul is concerned in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. All right. The second legitimate reason for a man to marry somebody other than the wife of his youth is death, obviously, and that's Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, even though Romans chapter 7, verses 2 and 3 are not a doctrinal statement on marriage because they don't contemplate divorce. They do explain that as long as a woman has a husband, she's bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. The third reason is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and that's desertion. That's where one person says, I am out of here, and leaves the other person hanging, okay? And that's all in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Watching the clock, I won't be able to give you the whole thing. You'll have to read it, but it basically is this. Paul says in verse 5, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. All right, now, a woman can depart in verse 11, but she has to remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. All right, but if she leaves in verse 15, or if he leaves, excuse me, in verse 15, or either party leaves, if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. And then he makes the provision for remarriage in verse 39, and he makes the provision for remarriage in verse 28. Okay, so it's not the kind of thing that God wants, but under certain circumstances, he understands there is an innocent party and makes that provision. Well, Malachi chapter 3, verses 14 to 16 warned about that. They were about not having an innocent party and somebody just dealing treacherously against the wife of his youth so that he could go after somebody else. And he says, you know what you need to do? You need to take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously. And that's where it starts, is inside of your heart long before the action ever takes place. And it's always covered up with a garment in verse 16 until it's finally exposed. I wish we had more time to explain all this, but I think you get the gist.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.